Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're broadcasting live on Omega Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and Facebook right now. And in about 30 minutes, Patricia Joy Xavier will be joining me. It is a busy day. Our country is being further divided and really genuinely ripped to shreds by so many factions in our nation. And I have a new name for Adam Schiff, Speaker of the House. His name is actually Mr. Shifty. Mr. Shifty. Adam Shifty. He is so shifty in his thinking.
There's a song going on right now.
There is. Okay. Well, let's see. What song is that? Coming from where?
The garment of praise.
The garment of praise. Okay. We have silenced the garment of praise. Here we go. All right. So let's get back to the broadcast here. We are genuinely seeing and witnessing Well, I don't know where Blog Talk Radio went, but praise God and pass the ammunition. That's what my brother George would say, and so we're going to say the same thing. Now, what we're doing is seeking to get this right. Our country is, in many ways, being divided. To that, there's no doubt. There are many adversaries in the world today. There's no doubt. We're hearing information from every news outlet. We're listening to both the left, we're listening to the right, we're listening to what's going on around and about us. And I just have a word from the Word of God. You know, that's the source that I want to continually go to. And again, the distraction that we are enduring until we get the technical things right about this ministry. And maybe we just need to stay back on radio and forget all this Facebook stuff. But we are wanting to extend the platform, and we have had over 400 new listeners from around the world since we've been on Facebook. So as far as platform and reachability, it's good, but too many distractions, and we either need to get the help or not. But here's what I did want to share with you. It's out of 1 Peter chapter 3, and I love this. I believe this is such an end time powerful passage of scripture. And here's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And who is he that will harm you? All right. So Peter is addressing the church that was ready to go into persecution under Nero. You could admit that would be a pretty heavy duty dose of persecution and tribulation Nero is the one that blamed the Christian church for the fires of Rome. He is the one that had the bodies of the Christians impaled to posts and their bodies dipped in tar and lit on fire to light the streets of Rome to set an example to anybody that would worship another god other than himself because his ego was so crazy. And so Peter's writing to them, the Christians of his day, and he's writing to you and I today, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You know, every one of us as Christian men and women need to get this downloaded in our spirit that we are not to be afraid of their terror. Right now, the Kurdish Christians, as the U.S. was beginning to pull out of Syria, the northeastern part of Syria, it was leaving a vacuum, and immediately there was an invasion going in, and it was going to bring a great deal of persecution against the Christians in the Kurdish area. So these Christians need to know this word in their heart. And, you know, it's interesting that the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is originated in the Middle East with the Palestinians, with the Jewish people, with the Christians that developed there in the Middle East. And those people have always known conflict. They have always known persecution and suffering. And the Christians in those areas that suffered, even at the hands of Rome and the Roman Empire, but more so by their surrounding neighbors like today that want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's Israel. But what about the Christians in the midst of it? They've always had to suffer persecution, whereas in, you know, Great Britain or in the United States, in the West, we haven't really understood this kind of persecution, this kind of suffering, what it means. We watch it on the news. We see it from afar. And I ask the question, is it because we are better than they? Are we Christians in the United States better than the Christians in the Middle East who are suffering, or in North Africa, or in any other part of the world where real hostile persecution, China perhaps, has broken out against the Christian church? And I keep coming up with the same answer. No, we are not better Christians than they are. If anything, we're the church in the West that is being called to overcome the Laodicean church age problems that do exist, which is lukewarmness. You know, when there's no persecution, when there's no suffering, when everything that we complain about is simply because we don't have enough, in a nation that has more than all the nations of the earth combined, you know, we have a problem. We're rich, we're increased with goods, we don't think that we have need of anything, but we don't know our true spiritual condition. I would imagine that all of us can concur that the church in the West really does have this problem. And it's a problem to be overcome, particularly the tepid temperature of lukewarmness. Now, how do we do that? Is it necessary for God to sanctify his church in the West to allow persecution to come and tribulation to come? And if that is the case, that real persecution, real tribulation, real suffering at the hands of the mob or at the hands of a new regime of power that we've seen time and again, are we ready for that here in the West? Or will our brothers and sisters in foreign countries around the world, the Christian church, do they have something to teach you and I? And I have to say yes. I have to believe that yes, I think the healthiest thing for the church has been persecution. I know it sounds odd, and never having been persecuted like they are, our persecution is a little bit different. The sufferings that we have are a little bit different. But I believe that the healthiest thing for the church throughout the church age in the last 2,000 years has been persecution. It appears that when persecution comes, the church seems to bear down and dig in, and the gospel seems to spread while the people are fleeing to the ends of the earth. I mean, we do read that in the book of Acts. And so I believe it is. In the Gospels and in the epistles of the apostles, there's always this message of the apostles to prepare the church for persecution and suffering, and to rejoice when they can suffer for doing what is right. And that is really what the whole Epistle of Peter is all about. It's a preparation for the people of God. And you and I need to be prepared today. You and I need to be ready today. You and I need to be awakened to a sense of Christianity that perhaps we haven't really understood in a very long time. A Christianity. Now, am I begging for persecution? Am I begging for trouble? No, because Peter also writes that if you would see good days and love life, then you would keep your lips from speaking guile and your mouth from saying anything evil, and that you would eschew evil, right? So there is the understanding of enjoying a good life, loving life, and having good days, okay? This is imperative. This is something God grants to us. I want to have a good day today. How about you? I want to have a breaking up. Why are we breaking up? All right, whatever. What is the breaking up now? Let's see. There's no reason for breaking up. Let me say, where are we breaking up at? Are we breaking up on Blog Talk? Are we breaking up on Omega Radio, Patricia?
I'm on Omega.
Omega. All right. So Omega is breaking up. So not sure why that would be happening. Let's check it out. I want to get back to this. We seem to be doing okay here. Everything's normal at this point.
You're okay now.
All right. So everything is okay. No more breaking up. Breaking up is hard to do. I remember that. Breaking up is hard to do. So where are we at here? Okay. Anyways. Now, let's bring this back over here. Technology. We need somebody to run the boards, right? I want to have a good life. I want to have a good day. I want to love life. I'm sorry?
There's reverb.
That's just weird. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm getting off of Facebook, okay? You say, bye, Facebook. Sorry, friends out there. I'm going back to Blog Talk Radio and Omega Radio. So I'm saying goodbye to the broadcast. Goodbye, everybody. Really bad. We'll send that away. Bada bing, bada boom. We're going to go over here. And we're just going to simply do what we have been called to do. And that is minister over the airwaves. And I am now broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio and Omega Radio. We have to just get back to a normal sense here in our spirit. And this technology is driving me nuts. It's just crazy. And till we get it right, we're just going to have to endure it. But for right now, I think it's really important. I don't know why. Today's the 8th day of October. And the Feast of Tabernacles is 5 days away. There's a prophecy that we've been looking at. And I've likened the Amos chapter 8 prophecy to a hurricane on the radar. And we're watching this prophecy form like a hurricane that would form out at sea. And the events that are described in the Amos 8 prophecy, which I believe, yes, the prophecy was given thousands of years ago. Yes, it's been written in scripture for all this time. How arrogant would it be, right? I mean, how arrogant would it be for all of a sudden we choose some scripture out of the Bible and say, this is going to happen right now, right? That would seem to be very arrogant. But I guarantee you that the Amos 8 prophecy is not being submitted to your hearing out of arrogance from my part. I believe the Holy Spirit has illuminated it. I believe the Holy Spirit has shined light on it. And it had something to do. It caught our attention when we saw what it actually said, that there would come a basket of summer fruit, a gathering. And this is what happens at the end of summer, as the people would bring this to their offerings as they would bring it to the Feast of Tabernacles. But something happens by the time we get to the Feast of Tabernacles in the Amos 8 prophecy, which we began to declare back in the spring. And it's a very powerful prophecy because it deals with a lot of dead bodies. It deals with violence. It deals with an electromagnetic pulse, God darkening the earth in the clear day. It deals with a people that are running to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but there is no word of the Lord because we have just transferred into another dimension of end time Bible prophecy. And this prophecy in Amos chapter 8 seems to have real legs on it. It seems to be a living organism. It seems to be alive right now. And this is what makes it very important. And so today in our country, we are watching things and listening to things. And let's just, you know, get into a few of the things that are going on that are taking place. I believe there is a real struggle. There's an article here about millions, okay? Millions of Christians on every continent have paused to pray for Jerusalem. Listen to this article. Millions of Christians worldwide praying in more than 35 languages united for one cause on Sunday. That was just 2 days ago. All around the world, on the first Sunday of every October, Christians in every language in every continent are setting aside the first Sunday to Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, which is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, said Robert Stearns, co-founder and director of Eagle's Wings Ministry that sponsors the annual prayer day. Hundreds of Christians gathered for the central event on the promenade overlooking the old city of Jerusalem. Organizers estimate some 90 million people from 172 countries joined in prayer, some via live broadcast. They were following the biblical injunction in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love you. So the broadcast event kicked off with the sound of shofars and singer Eddie James exhorting the crowd, "Oh Jerusalem, lift up a shout in this place." The U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, was the guest of honor. And here's what he said: "I am so blessed to celebrate with such incredible people, such inspirational and distinguished leaders here, like all of you who are here, to celebrate the state of Israel, to celebrate this holy city of Jerusalem that's right behind me, and of course, to celebrate the unbreakable relationship between the United States of Israel, between the United States and Jerusalem, between all the other nations of the world, all the Christians of the world, all the Jews of the world, their unbreakable connection to this holy place," Freeman told those gathered. Well, CBN News Middle East Bureau Chief Chris Mitchell, among others, shared why they unite for this cause. And I quote, "Why pray for Israel? Because it is the beginning and the end of God's story on earth, the place of final redemption. We pray for Israel because it is God's plumb line where the nations are judged. We are in a season where the nations are in the valley of decision, whether to align with God's purpose or divide God's land," Mitchell told the crowd. And Stearns, who helped begin this event 15 years ago, told CBN News its goal is to encourage prayer in local churches. Here's what he said. "All over the world, Christians are discovering and rediscovering that their spiritual home, their spiritual root system is here in Jerusalem. This is the city of the Bible. This is the city of our patriarchs. This is the city that forms so much of the foundations of our faith and also our future hope." And so Christians around the world are taking very seriously now that strong admonition to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Stearns said. So here we have 192 million people lifting up their voice in prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. I would add that all of our prayers should be for the peace of the new Jerusalem as well, the Jerusalem above. Paul writes in Galatians that the Jerusalem that now is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is the mother of us all, meaning that the true Jerusalem of Yahweh is the Jerusalem that began with the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and everybody that believes in him, to the Jew first and to the Gentile, that constitutes the new Jerusalem. In fact, the Zion that we've all been brought to is Mount Zion, the city of the living king. And Hebrews chapter 12 says that we have all come to Mount Zion, the city of the living king, the spiritual or the heavenly Jerusalem. And so let us not just pray for the Middle Eastern Jerusalem, but we should. But let us also remember to pray for the peace of God's people that are in Christ Jesus all over the world, like the Kurdish Christians, like the Palestinian Christians, like the Christians everywhere else on the planet who are suffering brutally right now, okay? And so let's pray for the peace of the Jerusalem above, where the Messiah of Jerusalem is already seated at the right hand of God in the heavens, all right? So we're not anti anything. We are just pro conciliation, where God has made of the two, the Jew and the Gentile, one new man in the earth. Now, while we're doing that, let us also remember that the United States of America is targeted for destruction. Let us remember that the years of blasphemy against the Holy One of Israel, blasphemy against God's only begotten Son, the innocent blood that has been shed, the outright rebellion and witchcraft against God is now going to be met with judgment. Let us not forget that. Let us not walk in oblivion and listen to the soothsayers and the people that are preaching doctrines of demons trying to build up America. America is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in the spirit, and all believers around the world are called into it. But what we're witnessing in the United States is a nation that is making war with God for a generation. And now that that generation is coming to a close, the righteous judgment of God is being poured out. And it is necessary, because what the righteous judgment of God will do is separate what is belonging to God and what is not belonging to God. And what is not belonging to God will be met with the fiery indignation of the Lord. Now, that fiery indignation may come in the way of Islamic terrorism. It may come in the way of Chinese and Russian troops. It may come in the way of the United Nations. It may come in the way of 100 different forces, cataclysmic events, catastrophes, weather events, whatever, school shootings, madmen with guns, etc., etc. We have seen it. We have seen the kindling, and the big logs are ready to be thrown on the fire. Are you ready? Are you ready, or are you sleepy? Are you an observer? What are you doing in your life to get ready for persecution? Now, if the best thing you're doing is believing it's not going to come, you know and I know that this nation can fall overnight. We say, well, there's 5 days to the Feast of Tabernacles. Amos chapter 8 says, by the time you get to your feast, there'll be lamentation, mourning, and woe. And if that Amos chapter 8 prophecy was illuminated by the Holy Spirit for this particular Feast of Tabernacles, well then, you've got 5 days to prepare, or during the feast to recognize that something is going to happen that's going to create a lot of dead bodies, a lights out experience, and lamentation woe for a bitter day. Now, what if it is illuminated to bring us to the next year? And so we could go on and say, well, what kind of prophecy is that? Well, it's God's prophecy. And the only thing is, if light shines on it and brings it up and out into the forefront of our thinking. Now, we're not the only ones that got the Amos chapter 8 prophecy. There were other people in Minnesota that I've heard, and others that got the same word from the Lord. And now, 5 days from the Feast of Tabernacles, UN troops are gathering. It appears that all the monitoring that's been going on in our society through all the spyware and all of the invasiveness that goes on through our mechanisms of media and internet and phones, and we've all been listened to, spied on. They know everything we're saying. Are you ashamed? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to say America will be destroyed, the America that is, that has made war with God. Now, it's coming under a deeper delusion. Eventually, the great tribulation is coming under the control of the Antichrist. We know that is true. So we've heard all of these things, right? And I'm not tired of hearing them. I'm not tired of preaching them. I believe that we need to sound the alarm even louder, 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 louder. When people say, hey, hush and tone it down, that's the time that we shout louder. And that's exactly what we're wanting to do. Anywhere God will give us an opportunity to minister the word of God, we are going to do it. That's all there is to it. We're going to do it. And so it's very late in the hour. It's very late. And we're watching movements everywhere. There's another article I want to share with you. Here in Northwest Arkansas, we're dealing with a push. There are petitions that are gone forth. You need 89,000 signatures to get this petition on the ballot box. And the petition, there are three of them, to legalize recreational use of marijuana. And yet we've heard from our governor and those locally here. We've met together and have heard from the Surgeon General. And we've heard from the ATF teams and the DEA teams and all of that, that the THC in marijuana is like 80% stronger than it was when others were using recreational marijuana illegally in this country. But now the push is to get this on the ballot in Arkansas. And the leaders of Arkansas, like they did with abortion, are standing against it. They don't want it. And they're calling the church to rally, to lift up their voice, to say no to these issues. Because if we open the door to recreational use of marijuana, what they're saying, they've done the research in Colorado where it was taking place. And in Colorado, there's more suicides among teens, more car accidents. It's kind of like when they, you know, alcoholism. You know, the number of people that have died through alcohol-related death on the roads. They may legalize it, but it killed a lot of people. And it also kills them with alcoholism, psoriasis, liver damage, and you name it. So you could legalize something like cigarettes or alcohol, and you could say it's okay. But when you start bringing in the THC and the power of marijuana, and then they're pushing in our country for toplessness in six different states already, that women could throw their shirts off, and the liberal women will do it in our country, believe it or not. And so eventually this is going to spread like wildfire into the big cities of New York, where now if you say illegal alien, you could be fined up to $250,000. You say anything against homosexuality, you can go to prison, for goodness sake. And so it's coming upon us, saints. And the bars are fastening, and the snare is coming, and God is shouting to awaken you and I to know what to do before we get caught in the snare. What is it that we're to be doing? I believe with all of my heart, I have faith in it maybe. Maybe it's just my faith, okay? My faith tells me that when God's people honor him in a right spirit, not in a rebellious attitude. Remember, the Amos 8 judgment came because the Israeli people were dishonoring God. But I do believe in the remnant. And I believe that the Feast of Tabernacles is a call from God to the remnant to come and worship him and honor him. And I believe that those who do with right hearts are going to experience a laying forth, that God is going to give strategy, that God is going to impart wisdom, something that we can actually sink our teeth in, something we could put our hands on, the substance. Now, let me just say this before bringing Patricia onto the program in about 3 minutes. I told you yesterday that when I get up in the early mornings and I take my Bible and I start reading the scriptures, and I've been in Timothy, I'm now in Peter, that outside of our one of window, we have a water source. And there's a whole view out there of hills and mountains and that type of thing. Well, this, and I told you yesterday that on the water source, vapor was rising, little tiny vapors. But as I began to read and then went into prayer and then went into worship, all of a sudden, the cloud that was formed by the massive vapors that came out of that water source was unbelievable. And God showed me that when we praise him, when we worship him, when we spend time and press into him, all of our prayers are going up like incense. If they're like vapors going up and they form a cloud. And it tells us in Zechariah chapter 10, I'd like to read it just briefly. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, here's what the word of God says. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. And ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. And so we want the rain of heaven, the Holy Spirit, the anointing. We want the rain of God to come upon our lives. And so as we're asking for the rain, for the spiritual rain to make contact with the spiritual seed in our soil, the spiritual soil of our hearts, so that it will produce the nature of the seed that has been sown in us, which is Christ, right? So we talked about that yesterday. Well, this morning, It was a fog out. I was looking out the window. You could see no water source. You could see no trees, no mountains, no houses across the way. You could see nothing. And yet, the Holy Spirit reminded me when I was a brand new Christian 38 years ago of an event that I had. And I want to share it with you because I want you to be inspired by it and encouraged by it. 38 years ago, as a brand new Christian, I was on my knees praying. I had just gotten born again. And I remember looking out the window in San Diego, California, to a mountain that had a big cross on it. And as I was praying, a cloud covered the cross, and I opened my eyes and I looked, and I saw the mountain, but I saw no cross. I said, that's interesting. I went back to prayer. I opened my eyes again, and there was the cross. I went back to prayer. I opened my eyes a few moments later. Totally gone. Totally gone. The whole mountain's there, cross gone. It was enveloped in a cloud. I thought that was weird, and I felt like God was talking to me, so I got up and I walked to the back, and the Lord said, there are going to come times in your life you're not going to see me, you're not going to feel me. But you know I'm there. You know that cross is there. Well, today, as I was looking out of our window, you couldn't see anything. But I knew there was a little red boat over there. There was a dock over there. There was a water source over there. There were houses and trees over there. But you could not see any of it. And I want you to know that faith tells us that it's there. And every promise of God that's in this word is there. And when your faith sees it, you can have hope for it. You could pray it through until it finally the fog is gone and you're going to see the blessing of the Lord. The kingdom of God is there, folks, and it is going to manifest. The King of glory, Jesus Christ, is there. And we love him whom we have not seen, but the day is going to come. We're going to see him. And I'm telling you, every promise for your healing, for your relationships, for your health, for every part of your life, the blessing of God is there. If you love him and you're looking to him, just look through the eyes of faith. You'll see it. You know it's there. So don't give up on that. Now, what I'd like to do is bring my beloved Patricia Joy onto the airwaves. And so, Patricia, if you are there, you want to call in to 818-369-0326 or come and join me down here. And we'll communicate the gospel one way or the other. So I'm waiting for Patricia to join into the program. And while I am, let me just reach out to our listeners out there in Blog Talk Radio, the number 818-369-0326. Give me a call. Press 1 on the dial pad. I'm sure everything is working just fine if you have any questions or comments. We are hearing from different sources about all the movements that are going on. And I shared with Patricia the other day, well, you know, all these thoughts are coming. And, you know, she takes that very, very serious, and it's preparatory for all of us. And I take the initiative and the part of just, I know what God has revealed. I know what God has shown. I hear what's happening. But at the same time, you know, I'm just moving forward in my life, doing what God has put in my heart to do. When it comes, I believe we've made the necessary preparations. We know where to go. We know what to do. I believe we're ready. To the degree that we know to be ready. And so I'm at peace knowing if this is the moment when what God has been foretelling us and forewarning us about, if this is the moment, well, praise God, I'm at peace because we've made a plan. Let's take a call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. Good
morning.
We're hearing you very clearly on Omega and Blog Talk, and we ourselves personally are making preparation to come to the meetings of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we're hoping your weather will be very nice because we're going to get snow starting here on Thursday.
Wow, yes, pray for that. I think we're going to have pretty good weather. Kathy, I think our weather is going to be pretty good. We're going to have the tent out there. And we'll be gathering under the tent, and I don't think we're going to be in freezing cold weather at all. We're going to, and you pray for the sun to shine, the warmth to come. And regardless, I know that the presence of God is going to bring great warmth to us and a beautiful sunny atmosphere in the spirit.
Well, thank you. I believe we're looking forward to it. So we're just praying for safe travels because it is going to be blizzard conditions here starting on Friday. And we were going to start out on Friday, but we think we have to start a day early and just make a 2-day trip just to get there. So thank you very much for the prayers.
Well, you got the prayers, and we can't wait to see you and Ken. These are our friends that call in faithfully. They do it because they're just supporting the work that we're doing on the air, quite frankly. And Kathy and Ken, they have been faithfully coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe they've always enjoyed it. It's been a blessing to them, and we're looking forward to seeing them again. Daniel Second, by the way, we have purchased an airline ticket for him. If anybody wants to help support that, put it on my credit card, $1,300. And if you'd like to support helping to pay that airplane ticket off, we would really appreciate it. I would appreciate it. I really don't have it in the credit card realm to do that, but I did it because it needed to be done, and I'm sure that God will help. But if you want to help us pay that $1,300, thank you very much. God bless you. And Patricia Joy, Daniel's going to be flying in on Friday from Australia. He'll be getting here. So people are starting to make their way in. Our friends from Colorado are on their way, from California are on their way. So we expect there's going to be a great gathering. And I hope that the people that are listening to this radio broadcast that have become somewhat friends with Patricia and I and have been patient with us as we've been working through trying to get things right, our hearts are there. Our hearts are enlarged, really, to the body of Christ. I hope you'll come out. I hope you're in Texas, you're going to come out. I hope you're in Michigan, you're going to come out. I hope you're in so many different places. I hope to see you and Patricia and I and to meet with you for this particular Feast of Tabernacles. Patricia, I remember you saying not too long ago that this may very well be the last Feast of Tabernacles that we're going to be celebrating. You want to speak into that?
Well, I do believe that, but thank God for one more day to get it right. I believe that next year this will not be a possibility. God is giving us this opportunity for the great and most wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, the only feast that has never been fulfilled. Passover has been fulfilled, and we had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit fulfillment. But I tell you one thing, this has never been fulfilled, the Feast of Tabernacles. And why not? Because it is going to be fulfilled in the last day. And so we are now expressing a moment of time that God has given us for the most unique situation ever. And the church is involved. And so we need to understand that in this time, this is the greatest time the church will ever know. So we need to gather together in one mind, one spirit of righteousness and truth. Now, Daniel is all the way across on the other side of the world, but he gets information about the United States we do not get. And he is such a fervent lover of this nation, along with many in the other side of the world that love our nation and desire to see it continue on. But he realizes the times that we're in. He will speak on these times, and he has information that is absolutely incredible, and honestly, information that we have not yet received. So come and hear what God is saying to those who love him, the people of God that want to unite, who want to be involved in these last days' explosive work of the Holy Spirit. And there is a scripture in Psalms 37, and it speaks in this manner: mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And we are wanting that peace within our lives. And also, we need to understand what the word perfect here means. It means blameless or upright. And you realize that being blameless means that we have received forgiveness from our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been washed in his blood as though we have never sinned. And so that is important for the people who desire to come together in the news that they are upright in Christ Jesus. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. And that's what we're coming to, folks, quickly and fast, after we go through what is necessary to go through, but we're being equipped. We're coming together to be equipped for this absolute moment in time. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And he is our strength in this time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them and shall deliver them from the wicked in which we see all around and about us and save them because they trust in him. What a glorious, glorious word from God.
Well, it is glorious, and all of God's word is glorious. And I'd like to hear the voice of many waters. You're listening online right now, 818-369-0326. You're listening on your phone. You're already on there. Press 1 on the dial pad. Let's just hear the Spirit of God right now prophesy. You know, let's hear the word of God right now from the voice of many waters. You are the waters, and your voice carries the voice of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk right now. Prophesy. Where are we? We've been at this for how long, Patricia?
For 28 years together.
Yeah, 28 years. This October 18th, we'll be married 28 years. And it's absolutely amazing what God has done. But the moment we were married, we stepped into this ministry. And we have been prophesying, declaring, decreeing, learning, growing, being humbled, being broken, learning to take up our cross, changing from the inside out. We've been declaring what we see as watchmen coming down the pike. We've been doing it through God's word, through the lens of scripture. And everything we've been saying since 2003, really in its own slow motion transpositioning of things, is coming to pass. And it's amazing in our time how we would have thought things would have, that rapid meant rapid, but we do have to understand that in God's time, that means something to his perspective. But what about you? What are you hearing? What time is it as far as you are concerned? The number is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. We'd love to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. You know, too many people, I fear, Patricia, that there's a disinterest, and the time is coming where some people are going to be saying in their heart, oh, we've heard all that before. You know, it's the 2 Peter chapter 3 where in the last days there'll be scoffers saying, well, we've heard that since the fathers fell asleep. We do not want to be caught off guard. We're told to stay awake. We're told to stay sober and continue to prepare for the Lord in spirit, soul, and body.
You're absolutely right. The Bible says that will happen. And you know, woe to those that think in those terms. Their minds aren't yet clarified in the true Holy Spirit work of our living Christ. But today, the Holy Spirit, in all his fullness, is being sent forth into the entire world. Everyone has the opportunity to hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will not become afraid or concerned. And this is what we're trying to help each and everyone in, not to be afraid or concerned. We are doing it by internet radio and streaming, and we believers are to carry an impact. That's what we're to do, an influence for Christ Jesus, the Lord. And as disciples of Jesus, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so are you if you will receive the Holy Spirit in truth. And you know, they that in turn are commissioned to go therefore into all the nations, carrying the light of the world with them. And that's you and I. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And woe to those who turn aside.
Amen. Hey, when is the last time that you have been in a gathering of individuals that by the Holy Spirit unction were able to really get into deep worship together corporately? I understand the individual singular blessing of being in the prayer closet alone. I understand that. When's the last time you gathered together with a body? You say, well, every Sunday or every Saturday or every Wednesday. But I happen to know that there are a lot of people that really don't have an opportunity at times to gather together with like-minded people to worship and praise God, and then to allow through that time of worship God to respond by unveiling things. Again, we said it yesterday. And I just want to encourage you in this, that on Sunday we had an amazing downpour. It was, I think we wound up with 10 inches of rain. It was absolutely amazing. Flooding everywhere. Okay. Didn't affect our lives, thank God, this time. But there was flooding throughout the entire region. It was just a downpour. Absolutely amazing. And we said, well, we're not canceling our service. We meet on Sundays at 2 o'clock. And we showed up and the majority of the people were there. And I walked in and I was blown away. I'm like, wow, you guys made an effort to be here today. And what happened? We prayed and we said, Lord, we came here not out of obligation. We came here because we're hungry. We're thirsty. Would you meet us where we are? And do you know that that service on Sunday was one of the best in worship, in the word, in fellowship? It was one of the best moments we had together as a church. Man, we had a blast. And why? The kabod, the weighty presence of God came into that place. It's true. And I can imagine that when the weighty presence of God shows up, miracles, signs, and wonders will happen in people's lives. It's all about environment. The world is sick. The mind of our nation is sick. We are a double-minded nation. We are pulling in two different directions, more now than any other time that we've grown up in our generation. Always had problems, but there's something right now going on in the world. So God is inviting you and I to come out and to come up to the feast and to come to his feast and to celebrate him and to gather together. We have been hosting this for coming. This is the 30th year, 30 years hosting the feast. I have watched businessmen, hardcore businessmen, come to the feast. Next thing you know, they're playing songs on their guitars, surrendering their entire life to Jesus Christ because of the presence. And yet they went forth and they were blessed. But you saw something in the transformation of their soul. If you want a spiritual increase in your life, a spiritual impact, am I selling the Feast of Tabernacles? No, because it's not for sale. It's God's feast. Am I encouraging you to come and be a part of it? Yes. And what does that mean? It means that the speakers that have been chosen to minister the word of God, I believe each and every one of them are going to have something to impart into you. But there's more than that. It's more than what we can do in ourselves of impartation through the word. It's a collective gathering. And it's hard to explain or express, Patricia, but it's real.
It is so real. You know, I believe the reason for that outpouring of rain, what was it, 2 days without stop? And I mean, it was like a bucket was being turned over and just poured out for 2 straight days. I believe it was the Lord telling us that he is pouring out his spirit in the same manner, in the same way upon us for those who will discern his hand at this time. And that is why the move of God was so powerful that night. For those who were willing to come in the outpouring, not all were willing to come in this outpouring.
Or couldn't for some reason, right.
But whatever the purpose was, those who did come received. And this is his calling to us. I want to pour out my spirit upon you. I want to tell you things you have not yet heard. I want to explain things to you that you have not discerned. This is a time like no other. Please come to the Feast of Tabernacles and receive what he has for us.
It would be a benefit. You know, if you've been thirsty and dry, if there's you've been carrying some heavy burdens, I think all of us are in our own way carrying some heavy burdens. You know, getting this done, working this out, doing this, doing that. If you've been a little dry, if you've been a little, you know, feeling like you're just going through this alone, can you imagine God sending 10 inches of spiritual rain into the soil of your heart to make contact with the seeds of the Rhema word of God and the Logos word of God that is on the inside of you and causing that seed to burst open and to produce fruit in your life? Are you ready for an inward? You see, everything about the feasts are inward. It's not about the external. What we do externally is we get here. And in our bodies, we gather together and there's food for our bodies, all that. But it's the spiritual impact. It's the outpouring of God's Spirit. And according to Scripture, there are three times in the year that the windows of heaven open. Passover, there's a 30-fold opening. Pentecost, a 60-fold opening. Tabernacles, 100-fold. It's real. And this is the time when God's people come up to worship the Lord, to celebrate God, whom set in motion the feast days on the fourth day of creation before man was ever on this earth. These are his appointed feasts. This is his time of the Moed. And when we come up to meet the Lord, we're leaving everything behind, trusting that God will take care of everything. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelis were concerned if they went up to meet the Lord that their land would be robbed or broken into. And God said, no, those who come up and honor me in my feast, I will defend their land. And so as we come up in celebration, bringing our lives as an offering to God, and we get ready, who could not use an outpouring or an infilling? I mean, the church in the book of Acts, they had got filled with the Holy Spirit, but when persecution came, they prayed and the house shook and they all got filled with the Holy Spirit again. Who of us doesn't want more of God's Spirit? I want it to be deluged. I want to be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God so that we're able to do what we have to do in the days ahead with purpose and with anointing and with the power of God. Patricia, I know you feel the same way about it.
I sure do. There's a scripture in Zechariah 10:1 that I just love. And it says this, be patient, therefore. And I know a lot of you right now are getting somewhat impatient. I want to know what my call is here, Lord. What are we to really do? Should we stay in one place, go to another? There is so much. How do we prepare? But be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. This is telling us that our Lord is waiting for us. We are to bear fruit of righteousness. We are to bear fruit, which is in Galatians 5:22, and go throughout the world as a remnant people. He wants to gather us together as his elect, and he has had long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. This is what he's looking for. It is we who he's waiting for to come together so he can pour out that latter and former rain upon us. And he's ready to do it if we're ready.
It's happening right now in the preceding presence of God. You just read out of James chapter 5, verse 7. And I had quoted Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1 earlier about the bright clouds forming. And so right now, my prayer to God, my hope is that while we're on the airwaves and we're all very much aware of what's going on, but we're making our preparations. Remember why the trumpet sounded on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the seventh month? It wasn't for the New Year celebration. It was to awaken every Israeli throughout the land that the time of the feast is coming. And they now made their preparations and got ready to go. And the rabbi said, well, we're going to take the 10 days. And we're going to tell, this is a time of introspection, examination, you know, getting ready. But then on that day of the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, the celebration will begin. And so you are now in the realm of preparation for coming to meet the Lord. Now, since we're going out to meet the Lord, he's coming to his people and we're bringing our gifts and offerings to him, but he's bringing his gifts and offerings to us. And he knows exactly what you need in your life. I know there are people out there struggling in their marriages, they're struggling in their finances, they're struggling in their health, they're struggling in their faith, they're struggling in their soul, and God knows that there is an answer to every one of those struggles, and I believe that this is part of God's plan. It's not Old Testament, it's not legalistic, it's not obligatory, it's not external, it's not outward, but God, maybe right now, the Spirit of God is moving through these airwaves, making contact with you. Maybe you're being immersed right now, and you're being elevated and lifted up, and decisions are going to make sense, and you're going to start doing what is right rather than what your flesh or the devil was convincing you what you should do. Yes, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit, but I can't imagine the Holy Spirit not leading people to celebrate the feast, even if it's in your own backyard. Wherever you are, remember, it's a gathering together. It's not a singular event. It is a time for the like-minded remnant of God to gather together with pure hearts who have been working out their salvation with fear and trembling to go out to meet the Lord, and he's coming to meet us. I have to believe that. And I've been at it for 30 years, and I've never seen God fail or disappoint our gatherings. Our hearts are in the right place. We're on the right track, and we need to be downloaded with everything God has for these end times so that we can go through whatever we have to face on a daily basis or major events. And I believe this is the time he's going to pour it out. I'm going not as the guest speaker. I'm going to hear the words of God from the men and women of God they're going to be ministering to. But I also know as we're sitting down in groups of 3 and 5 and 7, having conversation, breaking bread, that Christ is going to be there. Jesus Christ went up to the Feast of Tabernacles in the Gospel of John secretly. And I know he comes wherever the feast is. His omnipresence goes to those feasts. And then he unveils himself and he begins to share and unload some things. Patricia, I'm excited about the Feast of Tabernacles.
I am too, because, you know, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, it is, to, you know what it's for? It's to tell us and give us clarity regarding God's love for us, which was put on display in Jesus. That's what it's all about. And to give us a goal, to give us a directive, to give us a attention to what that good news is if we understand the great love of God. He is going to outpour his Spirit upon us in love. And love is just going to outpour from us to a understanding regardless of circumstances, no matter what we have to go through, no matter who comes against us. This outpouring of love through the Holy Spirit is going to reach people, multitudes of people, by that love, because love covers a multitude of sin. It's going to gratify us within ourselves because we will begin to know who we really are. And then those who have been irritable or we have been irritable toward is going to change. And that love is going to proceed and pour out to a point where we know who we are. And that will be the end of our concerns.
Amen. And Patricia and I want you to know, wherever you are, whoever you are, if this ministry is a blessing to you, we're standing with you. We are here to pray for you, to counsel with you, to do whatever we can do to assist in any area of your life to get you to where God wants you to be. We're here for you. That's why we open the telephone lines. You have a prayer request. You have a question, a comment. We're here for you. Our congregation at New Wine Ministries in Northwest Arkansas, you know, we gather together and we do things together. And I just want to say and shout out to all the people that live up on the Ark that are preparing and all the other people that are preparing and to help host the Feast of Tabernacles. For those that are coming to be a part of it, I want to just shout out to you. Thank you for your ministry of love, for your willingness to host what belongs to the Father. And my prayer is that God will bless you personally, richly, with a blessing for just hosting. You know, the disciples of Christ, when Jesus said, go and prepare a room, go and prepare for the supper, the Passover, the disciples went and they found the donkey and they found the room and they made it ready and they prepared all the meal and they did it. You know, there was no glory in doing that, but there was. There was glory in doing it. They were doing it as unto the Lord. They were preparing the Lord's feast. They were going to have an actual meal with God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So when you and I gather together, man, we want to inspire you. Tomorrow we'll be back on the air, Lord willing, with Daniel Seckham. He'll be joining me from Australia. We are going to continue to try to work this thing out technically. We're not going to give up on it, but we don't want to be distracted any longer. And so, Patricia, with that said, I want to remind our listeners that if you would like to support this ministry, you can do so by going to either our, the omegaradio.org or nwmglobal.org, and you could support us online or any other way. God bless you. Patricia Joy.
Yes, one more time. God's great end time ministry is to restore the church, and that is what we have been sent to do, and we're going to fellowship at the Feast of Tabernacles and receive that restoration. God bless you.
Amen. God bless everybody. Shalom. Keep your head up. The Great Feast is just ahead. Sunday, October 13th at 6:30 right here in Northwest Arkansas and everywhere else around the world. It's going to be an amazing time for God's people. I love that 192 million people from 172 countries lifted up their voice on Sunday and prayed. And what did we have here? Rain, lots of rain. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Shalom. See you tomorrow. Up next, deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, dealing with the spirit of iniquity. You got iniquity in your life? Here's how you deal with it. Let's go.